Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 62 of Season 7 Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Lisa Leahy of the Rabbit Hole Podcast Network. Welcome back to the show, Lisa.
Thank you. How's everybody doing?
We're doing great as long as there are no cops within 50 miles from here.
That's good.
That's like what Christmas. I hope. You know. No, it's not Christmas yet.
It's like Christmas.
It'll only be Christmas wall. Next week. Sorry. You're going to have to wait for that Christmas to come around and not this week.
Fine.
You're such a party pooper.
What am I going to do?
Exactly. There isn't much you can do.
Nope.
You just chose the wrong week.
I did. I did. It's too bad.
If you wanted that line, yeah, you should have told me that's the line you wanted, as opposed to saying you wanted the joke.
I'm good with what I want. I'm very happy with what I got.
All right, great. So minute 62 begins with Zeus grabbing the water jugs and ends with Zeus thinking that he knows John. But we'll have to wait and see if he really does or doesn't. You know, there is the game called You Don't Know Jack. So this is You Don't Know John, or You Do Know John. I used to love that. It was a computer game. I had like the movie version of it, and it was just so much fun.
Yes, I loved it.
You know, back in the 90s when, you know, you needed to buy like a movie, you need to buy game discs to,
yes,
you know, to play.
Yes.
But, oh, well. So we left things off yesterday with John and Zeus getting a task from Simon without Simon actually saying Simon Says, where they need to fill up a 5-gallon jug with 4 gallons of water. Exactly, precisely. It's funny because, I mean, we didn't mention this yesterday, but Simon says that they need to fill up one of the jugs. But if one is a 3-gallon jug, there is no way that they can fill up 4 gallons in that 3-gallon jug.
No. So it'd be a little bit clear.
A little bit difficult.
Yes. Well, you know, he likes to pose a challenge to these guys.
That is true. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. So basically, at this point, Zeus, you know, slogs through the fountain carrying the two jugs and brings it to John. And then John actually takes control in this scenario. You know, there were other ones where Zeus took control, and here John is the one who says, okay, obviously we can't fill the 3-gallon jug with 4 gallons of water, right?
Right, right.
Obviously.
Obviously.
All right, I know. Here we go. We fill the 3-gallon jug exactly to the top, right? Uh-huh. Okay, now we pour that 3 gallons into a 5-gallon jug, giving us exactly 3 gallons in the 5-gallon jug, right? Right. Then what? Okay, now we take the 3-gallon jug, fill that a third of the way up. No, 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 no. He said be precise, exactly 4 gallons. At this point, John basically just loses it. He really thought that he knows what he's doing. And I love how throughout this entire scene, we hear the beeping of the time bomb.
Yes, the timing. Yep.
That's right. There's the beep, beep, beep the entire time. And, you know, the way that these two guys have such great chemistry together is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, they're having a conversation and arguing at the same time. You know, when you look at it through both of them. And, you know, John is overly confident that he knows what he's talking about. And Zeus just goes with the flow. And says, okay, fine, all right, let's see what your plan is. And at a certain point, he gets to the point where Zeus just has no idea what John is trying to say.
Yes.
And then they begin to argue about it a little bit. And then John just loses it.
Yes, and he does.
What's great is that he now gives us a little bit more of plot exposition. Because then John just continues and says, every cop in 50 miles is running his ass off, and I'm out here playing kids' games in a park.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you would call this a kid's game. Would you call this a kid's game?
Well, I mean, the riddle, not the bomb part, but the riddles. I mean, remember, the only reason they got to this fountain was based on a kid's riddle.
Which, you know, John wasn't really, he didn't know enough about at the time.
Nope.
You know, which sort of makes sense.
Didn't know the elephant joke.
For the whole thing. That's right. Even though John does have two kids.
He does.
You know that.
Well, I mean, it's right. Not a,
so
you know.
The
happy family situation isn't solid right now.
Okay, but it has been solid for a few years.
Kind of. I mean, at the beginning of each of these movies, there's some sort of situation with Holly.
No, in Die Hard 2, there's no situation with her, except the fact that she stuck John with his in-laws for a few days.
Well, that'll do.
true. That's very true. Okay, so when John mentions the idea of kids games, so it got me thinking, like, what kind of games do kids play, like, in the playground? I mean, here we are on a playground, you know, yep. So what would you say are the, okay, I have a list here of the top 13 games that kids play in
who came up with that number?
In a park.
Yep.
Okay. You know what? It's actually top 14. So the That's question even is, worse. Is what?
That's such a, nobody could get to 15. Come on.
Nope. Horrible. They couldn't. What can I tell you? No, it's the one that I have is the top 13, and then I found it in another place that has that, you know, the top one isn't even on the 13, so that's why I ended it. So you
oh
know
my
what?
Goodness.
I'll give you. I'll. I found another one to give you. Okay, so now we have 15. Here we go.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
So let's see if you can try and guess any of the 15, and then
any
I'll
of
fill
them.
In.
I can guess some of them.
No, I'm saying try to guess some of them, and let's see what which ones you might know and which ones I'll need to add on afterwards.
Okay, so the question is whether or not they separate out all the various games of tag that are out there, because tag is going to be on there.
Tag is one of them, yes.
Now, is freeze tag on there, or do they just stop at tag?
No, they just stop at tag. It's all tag.
Okay, see, that's my point. Red Rover will be on there.
It's actually not.
Lies! I doubt the validity of this list. Hopscotch.
Yes, hopscotch is there.
Hide and seek.
Yes, that is actually on this list of 13, which I've added to, it is the top one, hide and seek.
Oh, really? It's the top one? I would have thought tag would be the top one.
Nope.
Interesting. So, like, is like jump rope considered a game, or
yes,
like double
is.
Dutch? Okay.
Jump rope is, yes.
Okay, I didn't know about like double Dutch. Jacks.
Nope, that's not here.
Marbles.
Nope.
Come on. Let's see. Is red light, green light a separate thing from tag?
Yes, it is.
And it's on there.
That's on that list too. Yes, it is.
Okay. These are like not formal games, right? So like a
basketball. See,
that's
the thing.
Or...
Some of them, basketball is on that list. So
okay.
Basketball is the only like formal game that's on the list.
So like soccer's not on there?
No.
Kickball?
Nope.
Let me think. So like wiffle ball wouldn't be on there either then. Frisbee?
Nope.
Come on.
Again, I don't necessarily agree with the list.
Interesting.
The list
God.
These are what are known as park games. I don't know what that really means. Yeah.
The things that you don't need stuff to play with, I expect.
True. You don't know. Well, basketball, you do.
So you do, yeah. So I don't know. Look, I don't know.
Right, so I'll just quickly.
I think I'm
list.
Done. Yeah, because this is gonna get boring.
Okay. Yeah. All right,
thanks,
so you got
Rob.
Jump rope.
You're
very
supposed
welcome.
To say no, it's not boring at all.
It's no, if because you don't have some, you're guessing out of thin air for this type of thing, so
yes,
that's
I
why
am.
It's a little more difficult, you know. And I'm assuming that the teenagers you teach do not play most of these games.
No.
And if they do, they play them probably in some adult variety, you yeah. know, which yeah. changes things around a little bit. So. Okay, so here we got jump rope, kite, tag.
A kite is not a game.
I'm
thought
just
of that, but
you
it's
what's
not
on
a game. Okay, I thought of Kai. I want credit for that, but go ahead.
Okay, you get credit for it. There you go. Tag, scavenger hunt, hopscotch, red light, green light, follow the leader.
Oh, yes, I forgot about that one.
Tug of war.
Okay.
Outdoor bowling.
What? That's dumb.
Badminton.
What? That's worse than outdoor bowling.
Yeah, seriously. Basketball, hide and seek. Okay, kick the can.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite is capture the flag.
Oh, of course. See, you know, I never played capture the flag. So that makes sense. That would be out of my wheelhouse. I thought of manhunt, but that's sort of like a hide and seek. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's another game here that I saw that was on a different site, that on a different list. It's called Spud, which I recall playing it. You throw a ball up in the air and you shout another player's name, and then everyone needs to run away, and the person whose name you call has to catch the ball, and then they yell Spud, and everyone freezes, and then they get to throw the ball at somebody. So it's like dodgeball type of thing.
I love it.
And, you know, if the ball hits the person, then they get an S. And okay. The next time, there it's, you know, and then you go until someone gets hit four times, S-B-U-D, and then they lose at that point.
That sounds like a fantastic way to bully someone.
Probably.
That poor person gets targeted. That's interesting, though. I'm sure I've played some variation of that.
I know I've played it, but it's... You know, again, it sounds more like dodgeball,
mm-hmm.
which I'm surprised wasn't on this list either.
Yeah.
You know, because you could say, okay, fine, if it's not conventional games, you don't need to have real equipment for, then why would basketball be there?
Well, badminton, you need a net, you need the racket, you need the oh god.
Whenever I think of badminton, I think of the Disney version of Robin Hood.
Yes, I love that.
Exactly. So, whatever. That's the list I found.
Okay. I'll allow it.
All right. So, at this point, Zeus tries to focus John, and he says, hey, you want to focus on the problem at hand? And then, you know, it looks like they're getting ready to start doing stuff, and then we have a cut to a whole bunch of the dump trucks. They're collecting lots of gold bars, and we see them, you know, spilling the gold bars from one place to the other and stuff like that. We hear the music. We hear the theme of the movie. You know you know what song it is, don't you?
Yeah, when it's Johnny, isn't it? When Johnny comes marching home again.
That's right. But if you ask any British people, like Jay, they will say that the actual tune here is the Noah's Ark song. You know, the animals come marching by one, two by two.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So I love that kind of thing.
Yeah. So the music plays as these trucks are basically. You know, moving stuff back and forth, and then we're back in the park, and we see that John and Zeus are continuing to argue. You know, so I guess this is where they've partially jumped through that 5 minutes that we were talking about, mm-hmm. or 20 minutes in the script. You know,
20 minutes. My goodness.
At this point, we have John saying, "I thought you said you knew. You said don't say anything if you don't know. I thought you said." Then he says, "Give me the jug. We're starting over." And then Zeus says, no, we can't start over. We can't start over. Pour that out. We're starting over. We can't start over. Give me the fucking jug or I'm going to put my foot up your ass, you dumb mother. And then Zeus looks at him and goes, say it. Say it. And he goes, what? You were going to call me? And then he gets cut off.
Like, outstanding spot for a minute to end.
Seriously. It really is.
Cut to commercial.
That's right. They do a great job with that.
Well, didn't they realize that people were going to do minute-by-minute podcasts? They should have been more considerate.
You know,
can you imagine if that was the end of a week, how annoying that would have been?
True.
Oh, my God. That would have been awful.
That's – well, but awful for who?
The listeners who would have had to wait a weekend to get that resolved.
Well, again, the assumption is that most people who are listening to this – have already seen the movie.
That's the assumption. I guess if you're gonna be particular about it.
Yeah, we assume.
You know what happens when you assume, right?
I know what happens. I do know what happens when you assume. I don't assume that often, but in this case, I do assume.
I think it's
that most people, if they want to get the full, the full version of this movies by minute, you need to have seen the movie. You know, and sometimes it's helpful if you watch the minute right before you listen to the minute also. You know, that helps also. And then listen to it again, then watch it again afterwards. So then you say, oh, I didn't notice that. I noticed that, you know.
That takes a lot like of time, though. That's a big commitment.
To watch another 2 minutes after listening to, Lisa and Rob talk for 40? I don't know.
Well, I mean, people have things to do.
What's more important than listening to this, Scott?
Nothing, clearly.
Nothing important.
No, of course not.
This is what's important. This is
absolutely. I'm with you.
Exactly. And then that's basically the way that this minute ends. One of the things I like about the way that they do this jump cut is the fact that it shows us that they've been taking their time over these quote unquote 5 minutes, you know, in this timeline for them to try to figure it out.
Right.
You know, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, you can't just, you know, willy-nilly throw some water in a jug and expect it to be 4 gallons. You know, you have to be precise. And of course, you know, when you're under time pressure, there's going to be a lot of arguing. I mean, I think this is why the 5 minutes makes a hell of a lot more sense, especially for the storyline here. You need to be under pressure. You know, if 20 minutes, they could go, you know, for a walk, they could go ask somebody else for help. That is just too much time.
Right. But on the other hand, they're letting us... Yeah, you know, we don't see that the 5 minutes actually end, you know,
right.
or we don't see the 5 minutes go by.
True.
It because of this jump, we don't know how much time there is left for them to get this done. But what That's we do true. Know is that for whatever amount of time they've been at it, they've been arguing together one with the other
yes.
about what they need to do there. So it sort of makes sense from
yes,
that perspective.
I agree.
So I mean I like the way that they do that from that perspective. So,
I mean, it certainly keeps everything going. That's for sure.
That's true. And it's a nice way to show us, you know, what's going on with the bad guys in the middle. You know, we get to see that they are, basically collecting all these gold bars,
mm-hmm.
you know, which we were sort of aware of. And now we know for sure what's going
yes.
on. So I like the way that they do that here. And that's all I have for this minute. Do you have anything else for this minute?
No, I think this is good. We're getting to some of the good stuff.
All right. So, well, let's get into the script. So again, we're jumping back and forth in the script here, but in the script also, this takes place in Washington Square Park. And so it starts off with the digital timer on the detonator attached to the scale is counting 1532, 1531, 1530, et cetera. McLean has his jugs in hand. McLean then says, let's start over. 4 gallons in one of the jugs. I don't get it. Me neither. Obviously, we can't get 4 gallons in the 3 gallon jug. Obviously. I know. Pour the 3 gallon jug full, then pour it into the 5. Now that's exactly 3 gallons in the 5 gallon jug, right? Right. And then fill the 3 gallon jug a third of the way, giving us 1 more gallon. No. Simon said exactly 4 gallons. We can't eyeball the last gallon. Look, don't say you know unless you know. We have to be precise. Like your Coke bottle idea. Drop it, McLean. No, come on. Let's find a 16 ounce Coke bottle in the trash and fill the 5 gallon 32 times. That's real precise, Zeus. I said drop it, McLean.
I love it.
Yes. I like the way that they do this whole thing here. And that's pretty much how they continue with that. Okay, so every Tuesday we have a segment called Trilogy Tuesday. Where yes. my guests need to give their top 5 trilogies. And obviously, you know, we're a little flexible here with what people want to call a trilogy.
Good. Because one of them is a stretch. Although the yeah. funny thing is, like, you know, I originally thought I was all set and ready to go and realized I only chose 3 trilogies because I obviously got hung up on number 3 and forgot, oh, crap, I need 2 more.
Okay.
It's not a series of episodes with me if I don't screw something up.
But that's part of the fun of it, you know?
I think so. It's part of my charm.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't have these in any particular order.
Well, you need to give them an order so that I can give points.
Oh, fine. Okay, so I'm going to make an order right now then. So my number five would be the Back to the Future trilogy. Mainly for rewatchability. Okay. You know, obviously the first one is a classic and the second one is a riot. I'm not as big a fan as the third. I'm not a Westerns girl, and it's just kind of like, I'm more likely to watch the other two more than once. Mm-hmm. And then my number four would be the How to Train Your Dragon trilogy, essentially with the same answer. You know, I love the first film. And the other two I will watch simply for, like most people, the shenanigans by Toothless. And again, you know, like many people, I think, you know, I adore Toothless because she reminds me of my husband's cat, who's no longer with us. But the idea of, you know, this black dragon that's all cuddly and silly, but also very aggressive sometimes, was my husband's black cat, who is no longer with us. So it was great because, like, the cute little eyes when she wants something was absolutely what Maureen was like. And then, you know, if she doesn't like you, you're going to know it. So she was fun. Then I'm going to go to, let's see. What should I put at number three? I'm going to put the Dark Knight trilogy at number three. Again, what's interesting here is the rewatchability comes for two and three for me. I'll absolutely watch The Dark Knight, and I'll absolutely watch The Dark Knight Rises. I am not a fan of Batman Begins. I think it's dull. I think it's dull. I get it. I know people love it, but it just doesn't do it for me. And when The Dark Knight Rises released in the theater, that was the same summer as the first Avengers film, and The Dark Knight Rises is a better movie to me. I don't care about Loki. I don't think he's an interesting villain, and the Avengers has too many heroes and not enough good villains, whereas The Dark Knight Rises has Bane, and he's amazing, and I love Tom Hardy, and I just think that movie is spectacular. So I'm going to die on that hill. At me all you want. My next favorite, number two, would be the Cloverfield trilogy, which is sad because the third one is so terrible, but the first two are so good. I will absolutely put this up here because I think Cloverfield is one of the most amazing monster movies out there. I think it is one of the top two best advertised films in the history of ever, because in July of that year, you know, you got a teaser on the Transformers film and you didn't get a title. You didn't get a production company. You got nothing. And J.J. Abrams and his crazy minion crew took those trailers off the internet the second they popped up there. And you had to wait until like November, December before we even knew what the movie was called, when it was coming out. And lo and behold, it came out like 3 weeks after that extra trailer came out in the end of the year. And it was amazing. And then when you do 10 Cloverfield Lane, and John Goodman, who makes everything better, I don't care what it is. It could be a movie of paint drying, and you put John Goodman sitting next to the paint drying, and I'm interested. it's just such a great film. The third one is just crap, but those two are so, so, so good. I'm putting them up. And then my favorite is the Hell House LLC trilogy, which I'll be amazed if anybody else puts that on the list at all.
I don't think I've ever even heard of it.
See, this is the problem, but that's okay. I'm gonna infuse you with the love of found footage, because frankly, Cloverfield was my number two. So let's keep going. Hell House LLC is one of my favorite, if not my absolute favorite, found footage haunted house film. It's about, you know, a group of people who buy this old, you know, dilapidated, rundown, condemned hotel, and they decide they're gonna do their Halloween haunted house there, like their, you know, attraction that people walk through. And of course, everything goes to hell and everything is terrible. And then the second film, The Abaddon Hotel, talks about sort of like the investigation of the hotel after the fact and some of the things that they find and what happened, investigating the mystery of what happened with Hell House LLC in the first round. And then the third one is a little meh, But I'm going to pretend the third one doesn't exist, and I'm going to go to this prequel that just came out last year, Hell House LLC, the Carmichael Hotel, the Carmichael Manor, which is amazing and goes right back to being as good as the first two. A little bit of way back when, some origin story of some of the pieces. I don't care that it directly connects or not. It's just a really good film, and it's nice and creepy, and I love a good haunted story. So the Hell House LLC films are my top.
Okay, I knew you were going to go with some sort of horror movie anyway. So.
Shocking, right? I know.
Shocking. Very, very. Just wait till Friday. Okay. I got a horror lineup for you.
I love it.
So, yeah, I know. All right. So, Lisa, would you like to tell people once again where they can find Lisa Leahy?
Sure. You can find Lisa Leahy going on tangents in her on the Rabbit Hole Podcast Network. I am on shows like Pictures and Conversations, a Rabbit Hole Podcast book club that comes out on the 20th of every month. Or every other week, you can hear me talk about The Gift of Horror with Jason Soto, in which we have come up with a bunch of subgenres and two films each episode that we talk about. Jason picks a film, I pick a film. It's kind of like a white elephant gift exchange, and we sort of decide whose gift is better in the end.
Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Instagram, you can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, or you can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. If you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay!
Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah, hurrah. We'll give him a hearty welcome then, hurrah, hurrah. The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.